Now live.
All right, great. Thank you very much. I want to welcome you to the Board of Directors Mobile Source Committee. As many of you know, this meeting will be conducted under procedures authorized by Executive Order N29-20 issued by Governor Gavin Newsom. Obviously, members of the committee must participate by teleconference. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of June 18th, 2020, Director Cutter. Director Haggerty.
Here.
Director Hudson.
Here.
Director Niss.
Here.
Director Mitchell. Director Rice.
Here.
Director Wilson. Committee Vice Chair Ju. Committee Chair Canepa.
Here.
Board Chair Sinks.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. That brings us to item two, approval of the minutes of May 20, 2020. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
I have a roll call, please. No.
Director Cutter. Director Haggerty.
Yes.
Haggerty is an aye. Director Hudson.
Aye.
Hudson is an aye. Director Niss.
Aye.
Niss is an aye. Director Mitchoff. Director Rice.
Yes.
Rice is an aye. Director Wilson. Committee Vice Chair Ju. Committee Chair Canepa.
Aye.
Canepa is an aye. Board Chair Sinks.
Aye.
Sinks is an aye. The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. That brings us to item three, projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000.
Just as a point of order, Marcy, for some reason, Karen's on attendees. Karen Mitchoff.
She probably didn't check in the right way.
Just so you know, she is here.
I'll switch her right now. Thank you.
Yeah, you can promote her, I think, without her having to do anything.
Go ahead, Karen.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Chair Canepa and members of the Mobile Source Committee. So this morning, I'm going to start off by presenting agenda number three, which is projects and contracts with proposed contract awards over.
Damn it. Pardon me.
Ms. Mitchoff?
I'm sorry. I was trying to get in here and nobody could hear me. And now thank you for making me a participant. I should have always been a participant.
Ms. Mitchoff, Madam Clerk, we have Ms. Mitchoff as being a board member present, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Karen.
Great. Thank you. So Marcy, next slide, please. So during this presentation, I'm going to be providing background information on all of the Air District's grant funding sources that are covered in this presentation, describe the projects that have proposed award over $100,000, also update the committee on the status of current year funds, as well as the status of grant programs that are currently open. And lastly, I'll conclude with staff's recommendations. So next slide, please. So to start off with, I'm going to be discussing some of the funding sources that the Air District receives that are provided through the California Air Resources Board. These programs or these funding sources are used to fund projects that generally fall under the state's Carl Moyer guidelines. And there's a range of project categories that are eligible, but primarily these funds are used to reduce criteria pollutant emissions from equipment and vehicles such as on-road trucks and buses, school buses, also off-road equipment, marine equipment, and locomotives. So the funding sources that I'm going to be covering include the Carl Moyer Program, which is jointly administered by the California Air Resources Board and local air districts. In February of 2020, the Board of Directors approved participation in year 21 of the Carl Moyer Program and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grant awards up to $100,000. The Mobile Source Incentive Fund is a local funding source that was authorized by Assembly Bill 923 in 2004, and it allows the Air District to collect $2 DMV registration fees. And this funding source is primarily used to match and also fund very similar projects, again, that are eligible under the Carl Moyer Program. Next is Community Health Protection Grant Program. And yesterday the board did meet and accept funds that will be used for this next fiscal year or cycle three. The Community Health Protection Grant Program was created in 2017 to reduce mobile source emissions and also those from sources that produce high levels of exposure risk in AB617 communities. And so this current year, the funding comes from Senate Bill 856, which continued support for this program and allocated $40 million this fiscal year, which the Air District accepted in April of 2019. Lastly, the Farmer Program, which was established by the Air Resources Board in 2018, specifically provides funding for agricultural harvesting equipment, heavy-duty trucks, agricultural pump engines, tractors, and other equipment that is used in agricultural operations. So next slide, please, Marcy. So the so today, staff is recommending two projects for award that were evaluated under the Carl Moyer guidelines with total proposed awards of $450,230. These projects will replace five pieces of mobile source, mobile diesel powered agricultural equipment. And together these projects are estimated to reduce more than 2 tons of criteria pollutants per year. More information about these projects is available in attachment one, table one of the staff report. Next slide, please. The next funding source that I'd like to discuss is the Transportation Fund for Clean Air. It also known as TFCA, this funding source is the oldest funding source for the Air District, and it was created in 1991, and it's funded by a $4 DMV surcharge on every vehicle that is registered in the Bay Area. The Air District awards 60% of these funds through Air District-sponsored programs and also through the Regional Fund program. And then the remaining 40% is distributed to the 9 Bay Area County Transportation Agencies through the County Program Manager Fund. So today I'm really focused on the 60% of the funding source. The TFCA provides funding for projects that reduce criteria pollutant emissions from trip production and on-road mobile sources, such as vehicle-based projects. In April of 2019, the Board of Directors approved an allocation of $32 million in TFCA funding for Regional Fund Program and Air District sponsored programs in fiscal year 2020, and authorized the Executive Officer to execute contracts and amendments for grant awards up to $100,000. And I just want to point out that that includes both new revenues as well as carryover funds. And also then later in June of 2019, the board authorized the adoption of regional fund policies and evaluation criteria for the current year. So today, next slide, please, Marcy. So today's staff is recommending awards of $1,171,000 for two projects that were evaluated in the TFCA program. And these projects will upgrade 12.5 miles of class 2 bikeways to class 4 bikeways and install 520 electronic bicycle lockers. Together, these projects are estimated to reduce more than 0.5 ton of criteria pollutant emissions per year. And more information about these projects is available in attachment 1, table 2 of the staff report. Next, next slide, please. So now I'd like to summarize the status of the funding that's been awarded this year. So this graph shows, again, incentive funding by funding source, the two top bars representing the funding sources that were previously described. And then the bottom bar, smaller bar, represents funding that was awarded through a program called the Reformulated Gas Settlement Fund, which was created as a result of settlement of class action lawsuits. And that funding is provided through the Air District's foundation. The blue portion of each bar represents funding awarded prior to today's meeting. The red arrows accompanying each number represent the amount of funds that have been awarded and recommended to date. And then the orange portions of each bar represents the amount of funding that is recommended for award today, which is totaling just over $1.6 million. And the green portions represent the remaining funds that total approximately $20 million. This bar chart is also available in attachment 4 of the staff report. Next slide, please. So since July of 2019, the Air District has recommended and awarded approximately $65 million to nearly 200 projects. The majority of the funding is going to support both on-road trucks and buses, as well as school buses. And a significant number of these are now zero-emission buses and trucks. Also, a significant portion of the funding also is going to off-road and marine equipment. And a lot of that equipment is located at the Port of Oakland or in operating in and around, which helps to drastically reduce emissions in the West Oakland community. A complete list of all of the projects that have been funded over the last fiscal year are included in attachments 2 and 3 of this staff report. Next slide, please. So this next graphic shows the breakdown of how the $65 million have been awarded throughout the Bay Area. And again, we see that a significant amount of the funding has gone to the counties that have areas that are most impacted by higher rates of air pollution. And when we look at the funds in total, approximately 70% of them have been awarded directly into communities that are our care communities. So again, staff is working really hard to the funds where we have the possibility of putting them into highly impacted communities, of working with the local communities to find eligible projects to make the awards in those communities. Next slide, please. So finally, the district continues to accept applications for a wide range of projects. So as Damian mentioned, even though this is the last mobile source committee meeting, we will continue to accept applications through the summer. And we'll, if we do end up with some projects that are requesting over 100,000, we'll bring those directly to the board of directors. So to minimize delay in awards, but otherwise we're starting a new fiscal year in July. But I just want to quickly clip through some of the types of programs that we're offering funding for. Again, all of the projects that we discussed earlier, the Carl Moyer, which provide funding for both on and off-road equipment. We are starting year 22 here shortly, so there's lots of money for that program. Also, the Transportation Fund for Clean Air continues to provide funding for both vehicle, zero emission vehicles, as well as trip production projects. And I do want to mention one program that just opened. It's the High Mileage Fleet Program, which offers up to $5,000 per vehicle in grant funding to offset a portion of the cost of purchasing or leasing new light and medium zero emission vehicles. These are for high mileage fleets that operate within the Air District's jurisdiction. So examples of these are taxis, or vehicles that are used for transportation on demand services. Last slide, please, Marcy. So in conclusion, staff requests the committee recommend board of directors approve recommended projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000, as shown in attachment 1, and to authorize the executive officer to enter into all necessary agreements with applicants for the recommended projects. That concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Karen. Are there any questions from the board?
Director Hudson, I believe.
Yeah, I apologize, Karen. I asked you about Alaska Airlines for $177,000 and missed the $2.5 million for San Francisco International below it. What is that about? It doesn't have any reductions to the right, but what are we doing at SFO?
I'm sorry, where?
Page 6, attachment 2. It says agenda item 3. So.
Right. So
I don't know how I missed it. You know, it's only $2.5 million. What the heck?
I think that award was made, a couple of board meetings ago. Okay. I don't remember if it was, I don't think it was the last one. It might have been before that. Yeah, that is a significant award. And that's actually for a couple different I guess, terminals. And it's going to be reducing emissions from zero emission off-road equipment, essentially cargo handling equipment and a very broad range of equipment. I think it's 40 different units.
42.
I'm fine with it. I'm always looking for something to use the TIO, the tech funding, in conjunction with it to try and, you know, jump something up there that's really big. To me, SFO is San Francisco and San Mateo, so you kind of get two birds with one stone, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I am. I don't know if it's official yet. I think actually it is. I think it was announced. So it's a project you don't see here because it was awarded a couple years ago, but the Air District is managing currently administering funding from the Air Resources Board for a hydrogen ferry project. There were a variety of delays with that project for a variety of reasons. But at this point, that boat is very close to being completed. It's going to be, I think, completed around October, December of this year. And so it's going to deploy early 2020. But it's a hydrogen ferry. And actually, the TIO recently did make its first award with the iBank to provide grant funding to the sponsors of that project. So that they can fully complete the hydrogen ferry project as well as start capitalizing for future hydrogen ferries that are going to be built soon afterwards and deployed in our region. So it's a really exciting project. And it's a good example of how strategic incentives and the awards that are made through the Air District can then also be leveraged by the TIO to sort of expand that.
I know the airlines are going to be, a lot of their plans are going to be up in the air. I know one in particular was working on the bus system. I talked to you about it, try to get them to go electrical, but SFO for some reason wants them to do their own. And I'm going, you know, somebody out of Chicago trying to figure out what to do at SFO and every one of these terminals is problematic. And now they're not making a lot of money. So this is, to me, this is a good thing. This is something we're going to need to keep these people flying.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions?
I apologize. I've come back from having signed the resolutions we passed yesterday. Which agenda item are we on now?
Mr. Singh, so we're on agenda item 3, the projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000.
Okay, thank you. Well, maybe we can bring that hydrogen ferry to San Ramon's beaches there. I didn't know that they were on the water, but Dave's background would seem to indicate so.
So,
thank you.
I've stuck up my raised hand, but it's always hard to know whether you're actually on or off. So I just want to ask Karen a follow-up question. Do we ever get feedback on this program from those who are using it? This is what we're giving away, but what do we hear in return?
Let me try to answer your question and then let me know if I'm, so in terms of the folks that we give grants to, not for all of the programs, but for some of them, we do include surveys to ask them to gather information about our program specifically. In other words, is the application easy to use? How did they hear about it? So we do try to gather information like that from the sponsors. We also, for some of our programs, like the TFCA program, we actively provide opportunities for public input, both in informal and informal. So throughout the year, we host a variety of meetings with stakeholders, public agencies, the congestion management agencies, as well as other participants. And then we ask them to comment on the policies because those are actually ones that are developed by the Air District and then voted by the board of directors. Other programs that come through the state Carl Moyer program or the California Air Resources Board, we don't really have an opportunity to shape those guidelines. So the state collects feedback on the policies themselves, but we do advocate for more flexibility. We certainly do hear from the users when, the policies are too rigid. And again, there are opportunities to go back to the state to try to make them more flexible. And then finally, there are some programs like the Community Health Protection Program, which again, funding for the next cycle was approved yesterday by the board. And that program actually is unique in that it is really a partnership with the local communities. And so, for example, I'll just speak to West Oakland. Staff through community engagement worked very closely with community members in West Oakland to gather input from them on what projects they want to see in West Oakland. And then our group is going to be working to try to, again, do outreach or meet with them to make sure that the projects that are funded match the needs that were identified in the community. So again, it's not really, there's no one way of doing it because every project is, or every program funding source is a little different. But I hope that gives you hope that answers your question.
I think my real question is, do we have some metrics or some indication that when we're giving money away, which is essentially what we're doing, that it actually made a difference or that it was really spent as we hope it would be spent? And that's always tricky with whether you're, an NPO or whether you're a big agency like this, it's a challenge to know, did that money, we're really giving government money away, to be honest, did it make a difference?
Right.
How did we prove it made a difference?
Right. So the majority of the funds that are given out through the Air District are for, so even though these are grant programs, they're a little different than grant programs in other government areas. So these funds really are given for a very specific project. So in the attachments, you'll see, for example, page 2 of attachment 3, it has a specific project. It has a specific number of engines. Those pieces of equipment went to replace very specific equipment. So we knew exactly what vehicle was being replaced, exactly what it's replaced with. And that equipment was inspected. Actually, if it was if it's an attachment 2, it was inspected 2 or 3 different times. It was inspected before we went into contract and then again when the new equipment was deployed to make sure that, to your point, that exactly what was out there was exactly what we funded. So I would say we have 100% assurance that we got what we paid for. With TFCA,
that's very reassuring, by the way. There is.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of work. But also there's a lot of, in addition to in person and photographs, again, it's a lot of work. On the TFCA side, it's a little different. Some of those programs, projects that are funded are behavioral shifts. And so things sometimes, even though we know that we paid for what we thought we were paying for, we don't always get the results that we expected. So that's kind of speaking. And so that's why you see over time, staff is recommending that we sort of pivot away from certain project types, because our experience has been that maybe, we've tried it for many years or decades, and the results consistently are no longer what they used to be for certain project categories. So there is a little bit of trust in the TFCA program, but there is the guarantee that the funds went into what we thought they would go into. Again, it's just if nobody gets on the shuttle bus, for example, then,
And if I might add to Karen's answer, the TFCA projects are also audited on an annual basis, and on our Karen Moyer program and in the TFCA program, there are annual reports that are required from grantees. And then every 4 or 5 years, we're actually audited by the state of California as well to make sure that these projects are happening. And if we see any underperformance in the actual contracts themselves, we do send staff out to check on the equipment periodically as well. So there are a lot of checks and balances in place to make sure that this money is doing what it's supposed to. And we do frequently each year request repayment from grantees. If it's not happening,
So if you don't perform, you get to pay it back.
That's correct.
Yeah. So generally, again, in TFCA, as long as the project was implemented the way it was supposed to, we don't penalize the operators because folks didn't ride the shuttle. For example, we just choose not to fund those in the future. For vehicle projects, they are all required to have usage operations. So they need to meet certain, as Damien mentioned, mileage or hours of usage, depending on the type of equipment. And if they do not, then generally they're given the opportunity to extend the project life or the option of repaying. So we don't have a lot of those, but it does happen from time to time.
Okay, I really appreciate that long explanation. I think that sometimes the public thinks that those of us in office just give money away without a good tracking system. And I think that's very reassuring. So thank you both.
Yeah, and thank you for your question. I just would like to add that, you know, I also want to appreciate the team's work to make all of these awards. It was a lot of work to make these awards. There's a lot of people that work behind the scene to make this happen. And to your question, Director Nis, these awards actually really represent a very small portion of the overall workload. As Damien mentioned, most of the day-to-day work is spent reviewing progress, communicating with grantees from past year awards, and closing out projects, making payments. So on a day-to-day basis, the work going forward is really just a very small portion of the work that the grants team is doing.
Good explanation. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Ms. Rice.
Yes, thank you, Chair Canepa. Thanks, Karen, for the presentation as always, and appreciate you giving a nod to the team and the breadth and depth of work that it takes to actually administer these programs. And it's always, it's great how much money we can make available for these projects that are helping folks, helping their quality, et cetera. I guess it's a question and an observation. So one, I'm wondering how, if we look back on any of the programs and do any screening to get a sense of repeat customers, clients, and this is not towards dinging anyone who's going after the grant money, it's fine. And also I actually want to make the point that all of our grants never represent the whole cost of a project, and these grantees are having to come up with money from other places too, or out of their own pocket. So it's always a leveraging aspect to it. But my concern is that, I don't have the data in front of me to validate it, is that there are certain agencies, companies, jurisdictions who have either more bandwidth, more expertise and knowledge about the programs, you know, higher level of sophistication in terms of going after grants, the kinds of grants that we offer, and that smaller jurisdictions, agencies, and or entities that just don't have anyone knocking on their door and letting them know about the availability of these grants kind of just continue to get left behind, and through no fault of the Air District or anyone else. So I think we've talked about this before, and I know our CMAs try to help a bit in terms of making known that these funds are available for various things, but there's only so much hand-holding that gets done. So I guess what my question is, one, do we screen to sort of get a sense of who's taking advantage of these programs, and is there some aha moment is there an indicator that there's obviously, you know, there's some blank spots, you know, why aren't certain jurisdictions that would definitely qualify in terms of being care communities or otherwise? Why don't we see them accessing this stuff? And then I guess the second part would be is there's an administrative piece in terms of the grants. And I know on our side as well as on their side, but I'm wondering if there might not be a need and an opportunity to try to create some funding for grant seeking, grant management, administration help for some of these jurisdictions, agencies, organizations that just do not have the bandwidth and or the expertise and or the sophistication to go after these monies. I don't know if I'm asking my question very well, but.
I think we've got the gist of it. you know, in terms of the programs themselves, they come with fairly rigid guidelines. But we do from time to time screen for to see who's taking advantage of them, to see if we have frequent flyers, as you said. We do see in certain industries where it's kind of very narrow, say like the marine industry, we do see folks come back there. But the reason being is that, you know, there are only so many tugboats, right, in the Bay Area, or there are only so many.
And that's fine. We need those engines cleaned up. That's fine.
Yeah. But I think to your point about jurisdictions and how we do outreach to them and how we do outreach to entities, that's something I think we can come back and talk to the committee about on a larger scale. But just to give you an idea, you know, we work with folks who are on our grant list. We do YouTube and Facebook advertising. We advertise through dealers. We go through community associations through AB617. We go through networks like the Clean Cities networks. We go through county networks. So we use your own networks. We always ask to partner with members of the board. So we're trying to spread out that outreach as best we can, and we're always open, I think, to new ideas on how we can reach people. Your point about funding for the actual administration of grants and folks taking advantage of that's something that we hadn't kind of thought about or considered before. We'd have to go back and take a look. Of the funding sources we have right now, I can tell you that they would not be a natural fit for that. So that's something for us to think about. And I do think that we can look at it. I'm not overly hopeful that there would be a lot of money for that. What we generally do is we make our staff available to fill that gap for people. We try and make that as easy as possible for folks. We have our staff work with people to handhold them through the entire process. Karen talked about, you know, what we see here are the awards, but the work that goes on behind it, and literally the coaching and mentoring that our people give, is quite significant. But we can take your point and we can go and see if we can find something like that. And we can come back to you and talk to you about outreach at one of our next meetings, if that would be acceptable.
You know, I'd appreciate that. And I appreciate the handholding that happens, but that handholding on our end means you're holding the hand of somebody at the local level who probably doesn't have any more time even to do the handholding. I think that's bandwidth, I think, is a real barrier, frankly. And I will also talk with our CMA folks. I can almost see a contract sort of grant support management position, just even as a sort of a pilot towards trying to support, you know, multiple entities within a county or within a jurisdiction, whatever, towards accessing more of these funds. And I don't like to get too parochial, but I'm thinking a lot in Marin County of Novato and San Rafael, which are, you know, they're our largest cities. They're 50,000 folks. So they sometimes go after some grants, but there's entities within them and they're good candidates as care communities that I think school districts, et cetera, that just, I doubt have the bandwidth to really, even if they wanted to, even if they were aware of the grant and wanted to go after it, they just don't have always the bandwidth to deal with it and manage it. So I think there's a role probably for the local CMA to play, and I think it's something that the Air District should think about also. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. Damien, you're going to come back to us at the next meeting or maybe the meeting thereafter just to report back on that, correct?
Yeah, I think we'd like to come back and show you kind of what the breadth of our outreach is, get some advice from you all, and then we'll look at Director Rice's suggestion and see if we can find either a funding pathway or we have some ideas on how we might be able to accomplish something like that. As I said, I don't want to set up expectations that that's going to happen, but we will look into it.
You know, and I think the point is really valid. You know, a lot of things we forget about are special districts, right? And so there are a lot of special districts throughout the state of California. If there's opportunities there, I don't know. But thank you, Ms. Rice, for raising that issue. And then we'll in the future, we'll hear back from staff. I do see Mr. Ju's hand raised. Mr. Ju?
Thank you, Chair Canepa. Thanks for the presentation, as always. I did want to kind of lift up something you mentioned earlier, Karen, in one of your responses, and really wanted to appreciate your kind of direct work trying to work with the West Oakland community to figure out that alignment of resources, since we've invested so much already in terms of time and resources in trying to figure out what we can do to improve the air quality in that particular region. And it kind of dovetails with our conversation yesterday around how do we start to align some of our resources. So I would be very much interested in learning more about the results of that conversation around where they're thinking around prioritizing in terms of the grants that are available from us in terms of that conversation. And also, this could be a great conversation for our ad hoc committee too on diversity, equity, access, and inclusion, on figuring out other ways we can try to make sure that we're reaching the people we want to reach with our grant dollars.
Great, thank you.
All right, Damien?
I think that's something that we can definitely come back and report out on. Those conversations are ongoing. We're lucky in West Oakland that we have excellent partners, and you know, we have, as part of the first couple of years of this program, been able to spend about 25% of the funding that we received from the state in the first year in West Oakland and in Richmond. So the community priorities have been very much aligned with the grants. So that was good. You know, they want to see reductions from port sources. And you'll see kind of, if you look back to the projects, that there's a lot of tugboats, which are one of the major sources of near field PM, some locomotives, some of the cargo handling equipment getting handled. The next phase of our conversation with them is around what are the things we can do in the community to provide mitigation, essentially filtration and other things that we can do for smaller local sources. So we'd be happy to come back and report back to the committee on that.
Great, thank you.
All right, with that, I see no hands. Is there a motion on this item?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, so we have Rice, Mischoff, Madam Clerk.
Director Cutter. Director Haggerty.
Yes.
Haggerty is an aye. Director Hudson.
Aye.
Hudson is an aye. Director Nis.
Aye.
Nis is an aye. Director Mischoff.
Aye.
Mischoff is an aye. Director Rice.
Yes.
Rice is an aye. Director Wilson.
Aye.
Wilson is an aye. Committee Vice Chair Ju.
Aye.
Ju is an aye. Committee Chair Canepa. Canepa is an aye. Board Chair Sinks.
Aye.
Sinks is an aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us to item 4, the revised allocation of fiscal year ending 2021 Transportation Fund for Clean Air funding.
Okay, great. Thank you, Director Canepa. So for this next presentation, I will be presenting a request to revise allocation of fiscal year ending 2021 allocation for Transportation Fund for Clean Air. So next slide, please. So during this presentation, I'm going to be providing some brief background, again, on the Transportation Fund for Christmas program. Also discuss the proposed increase to fiscal year 2021. Discuss the programs that we'd like to recommend funding for and change in the cost effectiveness limits for those programs. And then finally conclude with staff's recommendations. Next slide, please. So for background, the TFCA program was established in 1991 from the state legislature that authorized the $4 DMV surcharge. And these monies are used for projects that reduce emissions from on-road motor vehicles and specifically support the projects that are authorized in the Health and Safety Code. Legislation also requires that 40% of the funds, which are shown to the right, be passed on to designated agencies in the 9-county Bay Area. So this presentation focuses on the 60% of funds which are awarded by the AIR District to projects that are administered directly by the AIR District, AIR District sponsored programs, and then also to eligible clean air vehicle and trip reductions through a program called the Regional Fund, which are shown in blue. Next slide, please. So in April of this year, the board authorized about $27.5 million for fiscal year ending 21. And that's, again, the 60% portion. And that's shown on this table. I'm going to have to move this here. But since then, with the sheltering in place as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, increased attention has been placed on telecommuting and best practices for that. And also the pandemic has started to have a negative effect on the economy and the state's budget, which in turn have led to there being some uncertainty about the continuation of certain incentive revenues from the state for AIR District sponsored programs. So in response, staff has developed a recommendation to increase the allocation that was previously approved using leftover current year funds to increase allocation for two programs that are shown here, clean air vehicles and the enhanced mobile source inspection and commuter benefits program. Again, to provide a buffer to ensure continued funding is continued for AIR District sponsored programs. So next I'd like to discuss those programs specifically. Next slide, please, Marcy. So starting with the Clean Cars for All program, that's a retire and replace program that was launched in March of 2019. Under this program, low-income Bay Area residents who turn in their older cars can apply for a higher level of funding to purchase or lease a hybrid, plug-in, or electric vehicle, or also fuel cell electric vehicles that are 8 years old or newer. Program participants that will be buying a plug-in or hybrid electric vehicle can also get a $2,000 rebate towards a home charger. And later this year, the program will offer grantees who are unable to install a home charger, such as residents who live in an apartment complex, an option to receive a portable level 2 charger and a card with $1,000 credit for public charging. And testing for this public charging card is expected to begin this summer. Program participants also have the option to receive funding for a mobility option through a public transit card. And staff is going to be piloting a rollout of something called a PEX card, which is essentially a Visa debit card that's restricted so that it can only be used at businesses that use Visa public transportation merchant codes. And so this is going to allow more options for participants to use cards for Clipper, BART, AC Transit, and other public transportation services. Staff is also going to be looking at options for integrating car sharing with the PEX card. And later this year, staff will be rolling out the option for program participants to get an e-bike or a combination of an e-bike and public transit card. So again, a lot of these new options are really based off feedback that we've gotten from this committee and from participants over the last year. The availability of replacement options varies, and it's dependent on the program participants' income and whether they live in a community that is designated as being disadvantaged through EPA CalEnviro Screen 3.0 screening tool. This is primarily due to the requirements of the funding source. So next slide, please. So the Clean Cars for All program currently has two main funding sources, which are shown in the two bars, the two top bars, California Climate Investments and the VW Settlement Funds. Both of these sources are administered by the California Air Resources Board, and there are slight variations in the options that are available to the program participant based off which funding source is applied. So to date, the Air District has received $7.65 million in California Climate Investment funding, and there's about $2.8 million remaining. This funding is limited to funding individuals that are in CalEnviro Screen 3.0 communities, and also only allows for the purchase of hybrids, plug-in hybrids, electric vehicles, fuel cell vehicles, and the public transit card. The Air District has also received $4.25 million in VW settlement funds, and as of the end of May, there's only about $800,000 remaining. VW funding allowed the Air District to expand funding opportunities to be able to make the program available more widely to more Bay Area zip codes. But due to the VW settlement agreement, funding may not be used for non-plug-in hybrid vehicles or for any of the alternative mobility options. So as funds are running low and with some uncertainty about future funding, staff is recommending that TFCA funds be allocated to provide a buffer in case there's a shortfall from other sources of state funding. The TFCA funds would be used to fund purchase or lease of plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, battery electric, fuel cell vehicles, and also offer the alternative mobility options that I've discussed, and also allow the program to be available to all low-income Bay Area residents. And again, that's shown in the third bar below. Next slide. So moving on to the next program, in response to shelter in place, there has been increased attention on telecommuting and requests for the Air District to take a greater leadership role on best practices to facilitate more remote working opportunities. The staff is proposing to increase funding for Air District's implementation of the commuter benefits program, including education, outreach, monitoring, and tracking of Bay Area employers subject to the program. In addition, the new funds would be used to conduct compliance assistance and outreach to local companies and government agencies. And TFCA funding in this category is also currently used to support enhanced inspection patrols for reporting smoking vehicles and enforcement of the state's drayage truck regulation and related truck and mobile source regulations conducted at a nearby Port of Oakland. Next slide, please. So again, the proposed changes for this next year are enable the two programs that were discussed in this report. Staff is specifically recommending an additional $5.7 million in unobligated TFCA funds to be reprogrammed for use next fiscal year. So again, that's starting in July. And that's shown in the second column of this table. Again, it would increase the Clean Cars for All program by $5 million and $700,000 for the commuter benefits program. Staff is recommending a cost effectiveness value of $500,000 per ton of weighted emissions reduced. And that's in line with other programs that are similar to those that were previously approved earlier this year. And let's see, next slide, Marcy. So in conclusion, staff is recommending that the board approve the proposed increase to the allocation of TFCA funds in fiscal year 2021 as shown in table two, and also authorize the proposed changes to cost effectiveness limits for the Air District sponsored programs and projects that were discussed earlier and that are shown in table three of this report. that concludes this presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Are there any hands? Anyone have any questions?
Move the staff recommendation.
You know, I do, before we do that, I do have a question. In terms of appropriating dollars to telecommuting, is there anything earmarked within this appropriation for that?
So the $700,000 is really to help Air District staff to do the administrative work to roll out some of these best practices, also to do a better job of tracking and monitoring the businesses that are doing this work. Businesses that have 50 or more employees are currently required to provide some kind of commuter benefit. It doesn't necessarily have to be remote working, but that's certainly an option available to them. This increased funding will also allow Air District staff some more time so that they can work with businesses that have less than 50 employees, so that they can basically be available to help all businesses in the Bay Area. And again, the thinking is that a lot of the increased effort will go into responding to sort of the new normal and be able to provide additional support related to telecommuting. But really, it could be any kind of a commuter benefit support on telecommuting.
So one thing, Director Kilabathirakanapa, is that our TFCA funds do have a limitation on direct support. We can't directly support teleworking, so that's why you don't see us proposing a grant program here. We're working more on kind of the regulatory side and enhancing information and education, as Karen said.
You know, I think it's an important appropriation. Can you just update the board on potential progress in that area and future meetings? If you could do that, be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, one of the things that we are committed to is an update to the board on this particular topic. It's something that's been overdue. We have it on our roadmap for this year, and we had planned to bring it back to you in the fall. The reasons for that is we are looking at making some significant changes here. We will definitely take that as an action item.
Great. All right. I do see a couple of hands up before we take on the motion. Ms. Niz and then Mr. Jew.
Thanks. So same kind of question, but now we're looking at this quite differently. I asked yesterday of our staff here in Palo Alto, do you think that we'll actually be back in by, you know, the end of the calendar year? The guess at this point is probably not, which is a long time to go on Zoom. So I was talking to someone last night who does a variety of different trainings, and she said that they actually give a class in using Zoom. Which surprised me, a half hour class. I think most of us have learned how to Zoom just by using Zoom, right? And there are some really best practices that I'm starting to notice in some of them. For example, one of the things I like about the BACMED and Jess is he says, you will get a notice an hour before your meeting. So you don't have to go back and look at everything. I think we have a responsibility in some way to try and figure out how do we communicate with this new system that is difficult. And I'm so glad that I know all of you, because at some point within a year or two, if this continues, you're going to be working with people on Zoom that you've never met before and you don't know much about. And then you think, okay, and then what happens to the buildings while all this is going on that are sitting there? Are they going to be used for something alternatively? There just seem to be a million questions about how we're going forward, how we communicate. We represent this huge area. We represent this great number of counties. And this is probably how we're going to be in touch with each other for the unforeseeable future. So I hope that we are willing. I heard you, Damien, say the TFCA funds are really not for this, but I hope we find a time when we can put some into that, especially to help other businesses that are going to run into hiccups. I mean, we're still brand new at this. This is 3 months old. If 3 years from now we're all on Zoom, it's going to be a whole different world out there, and we could possibly be.
Yeah, well, those are good points, and let us take that back. I think there's an educational component here that we continue to work on, right? And that would seem to be kind of squarely in our spare the airspace. You know, we are talking about how we plan to roll out this pledge, you know, that encourages people to continue to work from home. So this could be part of that package. So let us just take that feedback and bring it back to our communications group and see how we might be able to do something in the spare the airspace that could help in that area.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm on Zoom so much that I need a new fanny pillow at this point. It's fascinating how much time we really spend. And I think most meetings are extended because we are Zooming rather than seeing each other. Yeah. Thanks, Damien.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Niss. We have Mr. Ju.
Great. Really excited to see the money being put into telecommuting as we kind of figure out what that means and what's the best way to deploy that given our constraints. But I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I know that we've been having conversations with Chair Sinks and Director Chavez around kind of the telecommuting work and how we promote that and how we kind of leverage our position as a air district to support this within the region. So I was wondering if Chair Sinks might want to give us a quick update how this kind of ties into the work that they're doing. Or you can stay on mute.
We can have Wayne also to weigh in here, who's helping coordinate on our side.
Yeah, I will say that if any of you are interested, I'd be happy to ensure that you're extended an invitation. But we've been meeting for the past three Saturdays talking about how we, you know, envision the world to change. We know what's happening now, but we're not sure what's going to happen. We think what's going to happen is we're going to arrive at a new normal. We think that, you know, a lot of businesses, a lot of large tech firms that are, you know, doing engineering, particularly software, are going to be in a position to have their workers continue to work from home as a preference. Some of them have said indefinitely. Many of the large employers have said at least through the end of the year, maybe, you know, I think that will change things. And so we've talked about the advantages to us if, in terms of congestion on our roadways and everything else, if we could encourage that. You know, the downside is if people are squeamish about taking transit, then when things get back to near normal, if 25% of folks elect not to take transit, we would have a Carmageddon. Commute times in the Bay Area, according to one study, would go up by nearly 3/4 of an hour on average. So in trying to understand what behaviors we'd like to incent and how we accommodate this new normal, I think, you know, we're interested in the change we could make for the better. And that's for climate and for time we waste in commuting. And last couple of weeks, we've had speakers talking to us about this. We had Jeff Tumlin, who is, thanks to Director Ju, who reintroduced me to Jeff. He's head of San Francisco's transportation department. And, you know, he really is an innovative thinker talking about this. This week, I'm trying to get Joycelyn Young, I think her name, Young, to talk to us. She's a thought leader in this area. And then, yeah, what sort of pledges or commitments or incentives could we provide? And then thinking about the fact that, you know, for a lot of these folks who are high income earners, right, in the Bay Area, we've got to respect that it would be a real privilege to be able to work from home on a permanent basis. And that is not an opportunity that service workers and teachers and others in our economy need. And what does this mean to our transit infrastructure and systems that are far from perfect at this point? And how do we ensure that if we are offering any incentives to decongest or whatever for those who can telecommute, how do we balance that out so that folks that really don't have that attractive option are treated fairly, and that our transit systems are made whole and improved? So that's been the nature of the conversation so far. We've had ideas talking about, could we have a toolkit for employers to think about this, for making voluntary commitments and seeing what others are doing. We've talked about, let's say a big tech employer says, we're okay with having no meetings on Mondays and having everybody work from home on Mondays and Thursdays. Could we be a clearinghouse in some confidential way so that other companies could choose different days, right? So we could balance things out. So it's an ongoing conversation.
I can actually add to Director Sinks in terms of how the air district accommodating this. So Director Sinks had mentioned a clearinghouse. So because we're a regional agency and a lot of these things are happening at city and county levels, we committed to being a clearinghouse, sort of hosting something on our website that people can click to and see what other places are for examples to try and deploy in their particular area or their jurisdiction. So we're going to be putting something up on our website that'll have the pledge and other things on there that people could access and utilize or modify to whatever extent they want. So we take city things and we'll put them on our website and just so that other people see what's going on. To our Spare the Air program, we up until this point, we always did, ride share, transit. And so early our communications division, Christine Rosellis, back when the COVID situation hit, she pivoted that program really quickly with our contractors. So they developed a sort of a telecommute campaign this year. And it's designed to be flexible so we can change whenever we want, but it focuses on telecommuting. So I thought that was a really quick decision on her part and really was timely. And so you'll see those coming out, I think sometime in July, mid-July, you'll see our Spare the Air campaign with the telecommute option. The other thing is that our commuter benefits rule, that is a regulation that requires employers with 50 or more employees to utilize certain options to help. We're looking at modifying that rule. Sometime target next year. We're in the exploration point right now, but we're looking at really maybe having a requirement for telecommuting for large employers. So if you look at our telecommute rule right now, there's about 4,500 participants in Bay Area wide. Most of those use this pre-tax option. There's four options. The fourth one is a sort of a build your own kind of program. And under that option, telecommute could be inserted in there. But if you look at the the commuter benefits rule of the 4,500 employers, they utilize, one of the, say the tax option, but about 10% of that 4,500 actually offer telecommuting to their employees already. So we're looking at enhancing the rule potentially and making sure, seeing if we can get additional incentives that way.
Great. Are there any additional questions? Marcy, should we take a public comment? Or is there anyone online there?
There is none for this item.
Great. You know, I just wanted to say a couple words. The first is, you know, I sort of, you know, I feel, you know, you, Mr. Simpson addressed the issue of being privileged and having the ability to work from home. And I think that's clear. I was just looking at some numbers this morning. I'm sure you all found the unemployment numbers now at about 43 million, 40% of people making under $40,000 are unemployed. And so I always kind of, you know, I think, you know, how do we work in that construct to really help those folks? And I think getting into Zoom, I do think we're at a pivotal time, right? I think it's a paradigm shift. I think the paradigm shift is you look at our meetings, Bay Area Air Quality Management District meetings, ABAG, all these different meetings. They're probably one of the probably the best attended meetings because people have access to get to those meetings. They don't have to travel across a bridge. They don't have to come from another county. So I do think in terms of Zoom and using this technology and other technologies that are similar, this is going to be the new normal. And I think when we look at Highway 101, other parts of the Bay Area, Highway 101 being in San Mateo County is usually pretty packed with cars. This this approach of using technology is just probably going to I don't think it's just going to last through the pandemic. I think it's going to be with us for many, many years. So out of something bad and challenging, something good has come. And I think we look at our carbon footprint. We look at GHG emissions. This is a simple solution, but a solution. Well, there's a bevy of solutions, but a solution that really can help us, especially when dealing with mobile source. So with that, there's a motion on the table from, I believe it's Hudson. Is there a second?
I'll second, and I'd like to make one correction. I mentioned Joycelyn Jung. Her name is Joycelyn Kung. And I saw her in a segment on a program called NBC Bay Area's Press Here. So it's a tech show Sunday mornings at Sunday mornings at 9, and there was another segment on an investor in Zoom talking about its potential. So if anybody's interested in those links, I'd be to those show segments, which are about 7 minutes long. I'd be happy to send them along.
Chair Sinks, if you can provide them to us, we can push them out to the members of the committee.
Yeah, thank you.
We have
so
a
I'll second.
Second
the motion.
We have a second from Sinks. Can I have a roll call, please, Marcy?
Director Cutter. Director Haggerty. Haggerty's an aye. Director Hudson.
Aye.
Hudson is an aye. Director Nis.
Aye.
Nis is an aye. Director Mitchoff.
Aye.
Mitchoff is an aye. Director Rice.
Yes.
Rice is an aye. Director Wilson.
Aye.
Wilson is an aye. Committee Vice Chair Ju.
Aye.
Ju is an aye. Committee Chair Canepa.
Aye.
Canepa is an aye. Board Chair Sinks.
Aye.
Sinks is an aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us to item five.
Dave, could I ask one question?
Yes, listeners.
It either could have been part of the other motion or not. Long-term, as we use Zoom or something else, because there are many other platforms like this, I think we may have to talk about, you know, an RFP or something like that, because there's Join Me out there, there's 8x8, there are any number of them that also are the same mechanism. And I don't know what we pay for Zoom, but eventually our phone bills are going to add up, our Zoom bills. Just one thought, thank you.
Thank you, Director Nis. We can take that back and make sure that we are applying our general best practices to these platforms as well. So good point.
On a positive note, we are just saving tons of time and expense on commuting to our meetings. I think the new norm is going to, you know, is more likely to look like those who could work from home are going to occasionally have at least social events, right, in some common place. Maybe not the office, maybe it's a park, and for us, I think we're going to want to resume at least some of our meetings, and for some of us, we're going to want to see each other in person. But it's probably a mixed mode that's going to prevail for those of us, as I said, who have the luxury of being able to do this remotely. Thank you.
All right. Item 5, public comment on non-agenda matters. Is there any public comment, Madam Chair?
Nope.
Okay. That brings us to item 6, committee member comments. Do we have any committee member comments? All right, seeing no committee member comments, that brings us to item 7. Time and place of the next meeting will be at the call of the chair. With that, we'll adjourn this meeting. I hope everyone has a great Thursday. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. How are you?